Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IndiGo's second quarter fiscal 2017 financial results conference call. My name is Aman and I'll be your coordinator. At this time, the participants are in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow today's management discussion. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your moderator, Ms. Ankur Goyal, Director of Investor Relations for IndiGo. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the second quarter fiscal 2017 earnings conference call. I have with me our President and Whole-Time Director, Aditya Ghosh, our Chief Financial Officer, Rohit Philip, our Chief Commercial Officer, Sanjay Kumar, and our Vice President Finance, Vineet Mittal. Before we begin, please note that today's discussion may contain some statements on our business or financials, which may be construed as forward-looking. Our actual results may be materially different from these forward-looking statements. A transcript of today's call will also be archived on our website. The information provided on this call is as of today's date, and we undertake no obligation to update the information subsequently. This quarter, we have also uploaded earnings presentation on our website, which you can refer to during the call. And with this, let me hand over to our President and Whole-Time Director, Aditya Ghosh.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this call. We announced our second quarter financial results earlier today. The second quarter is usually the weakest quarter for airlines in India as demand slows down on the back of the opening of schools and the monsoon season. I'm happy to report yet another profitable quarter for IndiGo. Our profit after tax has increased by 23.6% from 1.1 billion rupees in the second quarter last year to 1.4 billion rupees in the second quarter of this year. We saw strong traffic growth in this quarter with RPKs growing at 32.7% compared to the same period last year, while capacity as measured by ASKs grew by 26.7%. However, our RASK declined by 6.9% compared to the same period last year as lower fares were only partially offset by the higher load factors. At the same time, we are pleased to report that our CASK, excluding fuel, declined by 9.7% despite overall inflationary pressures as well as the depreciation in the Indian rupee. Our employee productivity has improved as we have almost absorbed the excess bench that we were carrying earlier, and our number of employees per aircraft at the end of September 2016 now stands at 108. You would recall that this number was 121 and 112 at the end of December 2015 and June 2016 respectively. In the last quarter, we added 9 aircraft, taking our total fleet to 118 as of the end of September, including 10 A320neos. And as of this morning, we have a total of 122 aircraft, of which 11 are NEOs. We have been impacted by operational issues arising out of the reliability of the NEO engines, and we continue to actively engage with both Pratt & Whitney and Airbus to address these scheduled reliability issues. This has also adversely impacted our cancellation rate and on-time performance. However, the A320neos continue to perform well on fuel burn, and we are seeing fuel savings of over 14% compared to our A320 CEOs without sharklets. Pratt & Whitney has revised its engine production targets downwards for the year, which has resulted in some delays in neo deliveries. However, we will offset the impact of these delays by the induction of used A320 CEO aircraft on short-term leases. We continue to invest in the long-term growth opportunity of India, and our fleet is still expected to grow to 136 aircraft by the end of March 2017, as previously guided. For the three-month period, July to September 2016, our average on-time performance was 82.6%. Our average technical dispatch reliability was 99.91%. And our average fleet cancellation rate was 0.58%. We added Port Blair to our network last quarter. are 36th domestic destination and 41st overall. We operated our first daily non-stop return flight between Kolkata and Port Blair on the 28th of September, and our first daily non-stop flight between Chennai and Port Blair on the 30th of September. We have also started new routes between existing destinations in the September quarter. We started non-stop services between Dubai and Chandigarh, Hyderabad and Varanasi, as well as Kolkata and Vishakhapatnam. We have entered into our first GDS agreement with Travelport. As we take deliveries of more aircraft and enter new markets, this partnership with Travelport will help us reach new customers in a cost-effective manner without incurring the traditional costs associated with participating in global distribution platforms. With that, let me hand over the call to our CFO, Rohit Philip, for an overview of our financials.
Thanks, Aditya, and good evening, everyone. As Aditya mentioned earlier, we have reported a solid profit after tax of 1.4 billion rupees for the quarter ended September 2016, an increase of 23.6%, and a pre-tax profit of 1.8 billion rupees, an increase of 9.9% compared to the same period last year, despite the challenging competitive environment. We reported an EBITDAR of 9.8 billion rupees with an EBITDAR margin of 23.5% for the quarter, compared to an EBITDAR of 8.8 billion rupees in the same period last year, an increase of 11.7%. We delivered basic earnings per share of 3.87 rupees in the last quarter. Our total capacity for the September quarter was 13.4 billion ASKs, an increase of 26.7% compared to the same period last year. Over the same period, our total traffic measured in terms of RPKs grew at 32.7%. Our total income from operations in the September quarter was 41.7 billion rupees, an increase of 17.7% compared to the same period last year. Our ticket revenue was 36 billion rupees and our ancillary revenue was 5.6 billion rupees, an increase of 18% and 17.7% respectively compared to the same period last year. Our other income has grown 62.6% from 1 billion rupees in the September quarter last year to 1.6 billion rupees in the September quarter this year, primarily on account of an increase in finance income. Overall, there is continued pressure on fares and the revenue environment remains challenging. Our RASK for the quarter ended September 2016 was 3.12 rupees, down 6.9% compared to the same period last year. Our yields reduced by 11.1%, and this was partially offset by a load factor increase of 3.8 percentage points. We remain one of the low-cost producers in the airline industry, not just in India but globally. Despite operating in an inflationary environment, coupled with a 1.6% depreciation in the Indian rupee, our CASK excluding fuel reduced by 9.7%. We had a CASK excluding fuel of 1.83 rupees this quarter compared to 2.03 rupees in the same period last year. Our employee benefit costs continue to grow slower than our capacity growth due to the improved employee productivity that Aditya mentioned earlier. Our employee cost per ASK reduced by 10% from 0.42 rupees in the September quarter last year to 0.38 rupees this quarter. Our other expenses grew at 8.6%, lower than the capacity increase of 26.7% this quarter. Our finance costs have also reduced by 23.5%, primarily due to the retirement of debt related to 8 finance leased aircraft. We ended the quarter with total debt of 27.4 billion rupees, all of which is aircraft related. We do not have any working capital debt. Our total cash at the end of September was 68.6 billion rupees, out of which 23.9 billion rupees was free cash and 44.7 billion rupees was restricted cash. We continue to generate healthy cash flow, and our free cash increased by 1.7 billion rupees in the September quarter, even after paying last year's final dividend of 5.4 billion rupees. At this time, and subject to our profitability, our cash position, and the cash needs of the business, we believe that we will be in a position to pay an annual dividend for fiscal 2017. The recommendation as to the quantum of the dividend will be made by our board of directors based on these factors at the end of the fiscal year. We have a history of returning excess cash to our shareholders, and that is what we will strive to do in the future as well. Before I end, let me take you through our expectation of capacity for the second half of the fiscal year. As Aditya mentioned, we expect to end the current fiscal year with a fleet of 136 aircraft. Our year-over-year ASK increase is expected to be approximately 30% for each of the third and fourth quarters of the fiscal 2017. With this, let me hand it back to Ankur.
Thank you, Aditya and Rohit. To answer as many questions as possible, I would like to request that each participant limit themselves to one question and one brief follow-up question if needed. And with that, we are ready with the Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Rajani Ketan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I guess I'll just combine the question really. I just wanted to pick on where are the cost savings really coming from? Could you talk a bit about what items other than staff are really giving that boost? And the second part really is the ancillary revenue growth has actually fallen short of the growth in passengers. How do you see that panning, and which part of your ancillary business is really not taking off as you expected?
Hi, this is Rohit. I'll take the first question on cost savings. So overall, I think there's a number of factors that that impacted cost. Employee benefits we talked about, that was a significant improvement and one of the drivers. Finance costs also reduced, as I mentioned earlier. We also had lower depreciation expense as year over year our utilization is higher. So you do see an improvement in depreciation expense on the CASK side. And then lastly, other expenses only grew at 8.6% for the quarter, with even though we had a 26.7% capacity increase. Some of that is explained by the foreign exchange mark-to-market that accounting entry that that's made that I'll just take a minute to explain. So as we have a significant amount of foreign exchange liabilities on our balance sheet, every quarter we have to mark those liabilities to market based on the rupee dollar rate exchange rate prevailing at the time, and as you could see in most quarters the rupee is generally depreciated, so that usually results in a loss. So in the corresponding period a year ago, there was a loss related to this line item. Even in the June quarter this year, there was a loss related to that line item. This year, because over the period of the quarter, the rupee strengthened by about a rupee, that mark-to-market loss doesn't appear. So when you compare it across quarters, you don't have that effect of the loss that you had last a year ago. So that is some of the explanation of the other expense line. So that combined with the other factor that I talked about explain the overall cash reduction.
On the ancillary revenues, our ancillary revenue has been impacted by the reduction in the baggage fee post the change in regulation last quarter, where the excess baggage fee is now capped up to 100 rupees per kg for the first 5 kgs. Also, we've witnessed lower ticket cancellations and modifications because on account of the lower fares, people are now booking their tickets just a few days prior to their departure. So these are the two things that are driving that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just a very quick follow-up to Rohit, actually. Could you just sort of give us in the amount of the mark-to-market losses in the previous quarter as well as the, you know, the same quarter last year versus the gain that you booked this quarter?
The last quarter numbers a year ago was 500 and was 632 million, 63 crores, or 632 million rupees.
Right.
This quarter, we had a gain of 345 million rupees. Was there any other points you wanted?
Just previous quarter, sorry. The first quarter, 2017.
Was 589 million rupees. Was the loss.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from Union Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to get a sense on, I mean, I have two or three questions basically on the fleet numbers. So if you could just explain in terms of, what is the target now in terms of how many NEOs do you expect by the end of the year and how many would be like the short-term leases? And how many aircraft effectively do we expect to have on sale and lease back by the end of the year?
So at the end of the year, we are expecting to have 136 airplanes. Out of those 136 airplanes, we expect 20 of them to be NEOs. We already have 11 of them, so 9 more to come. And as far as mix of financing, in the presentation in the appendix, you will see a mix of our operating leases versus finance leases. But for the remaining airplanes, we expect them all to be on operating leases.
Okay, perfect. And sorry, just could you tell me how many currently are on sale and lease back? I mean, which are not really on short-term leases?
So the short-term leases are on. If you look at slide number 13,
So this is Rohit. If you look at slide number 13 in the appendix, we've broken down between owned and operating leases. The operating leases have various terms. Some of them for used aircraft are on, you know, 3-year leases, maybe. Some of them are on sale leaseback, maybe 6 years, maybe some longer. So they're all a mixture of leases, but we've broken down the, you know, what are, how many aircraft are on operating lease versus finance lease in the appendix. And as Aditya said, the aircraft that we'll add to the 118 will all be on operating lease in this fiscal year.
Right. And out of the 22, you already 8 you have repaid, right? So 8 are no longer, the finance lease aircrafts are now no longer have any debt, right? So those is, that is like free fleet, right?
That is correct. In the fleet breakup, we've categorized owned and finance leased aircraft together. So that includes aircraft, which includes the 8 aircraft where we have paid off the debt associated with it.
Okay. Great. Thanks. I will join back the queue for more questions.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vinay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions, you know, both are not related to each other. First is on the tax rate. We've seen tax rate now being in the 21% range. How do you look at that for the full year and going forward?
Yes, so Vinay, it's Rohit. The tax rate will continue overall to be in the 28 to 30% range. We have taken some MAT tax write-backs in this quarter, which has reduced our overall tax rate. It's actually a small amount, but because when you're talking about a small base this quarter, because this quarter is a seasonally lower quarter in terms of overall profit, it coincidentally, I think, shows up as a 21 odd percent rate. I think going forward, our expectation is to continue to be an average tax rate of 28% to 30%. As we explained on the call last time, we do have this, we had written off this large amount of about 1.6 billion rupees, 160 crores of MAT credits that we still have available to us. We have written back, I think, 58 crores. So we've written back 58 crores last year, last quarter. We've written back another 8 crores this quarter. So we're still left with about 100 crores of tax credits that we have written off. As we will assess our sort of future usage of those tax, of those tax credits based on future estimates of profitability, we may or may not in subsequent quarters take back some of that MAT credit into the books. So depending on that, that could change the tax rate, but otherwise you should expect the tax rate to be 28% to 30%.
Right. That's very helpful. Secondly, on the load factors, you know, you've guided for second half ASKM growth, but how do you see load factors for you playing out? Is this the level that you are comfortable with, or would you like to take them higher?
Yeah, so our load factors have increased compared to the same period last year, but I do agree with you that there is further scope for us to increase our load factors, especially as we enter the seasonally the strongest quarter.
Right. So any level that you would like to be on an annualized basis?
No, we don't have a target because, you know, then it goes into a spin of targeting and chasing market share, which we don't. We'll be focused on growing profitably, but we do see an opportunity of load factors going up a little bit.
Great. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anand Krishnan from Kotak Infina. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. The question from my end is with respect to the schedule that if you could actually help us with respect to the seats, number of seats that actually get filled, say, 5 days before the flight, say, 10 days before the flight or 15 days before the flight. And what is the sweet spot at which most of the seats in an aircraft is generally filled?
Anand, it's very difficult to, it depends from time of the year, it depends on the route that we are flying to. So it's generally speaking, about 60-70% of the seats would get sold in the last 7 days. But you know, in a lower fare environment, that booking curve starts moving closer to the date of departure. But again, as I said, there is no, it's not one rule that fits all because it depends on the market and the flights and the time of the day and the season of the year.
All right, sir. Second question is with respect to yields, as in how has it actually moved on a YOY basis in the month of October and November, if you could just help us with that.
So, Anand, sorry, I think we've typically stayed away from giving anything forward-looking beyond sort of the results of the quarter in question.
Okay.
So, sorry, we won't be able to answer that.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Michael Dear from Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Sorry about the background noise. Can you just remind me what the ASK guidance is for this, the second half of the year? Was it 30%, 30?
Yes, Michael. It's 30%, 30 for both the third and the fourth quarter.
I see. And have you been working with Airbus and Pratt & Whitney regarding any concessions for some of those delays, basically helping offset any of the incremental costs associated with the short-term leases on the COs?
So, Michael, this is Aditya. Without going into the details of the contractual relationship with Pratt and Airbus, we are working with them very closely to sort out any of the operational issues that have arisen out of the NEOs. Working well right now. We're actively engaged with them, but I won't go into any further details of what we have with them.
Okay, and then just remind me again the year end the quality of the call wasn't very good. The year end number of aircraft and how many of those would be NEOs at the end of this year?
So it would be 136 airplanes, out of which 20 are expected to be NEOs.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Mayur Malik from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, you know, I was just checking your fuel spend. So now typically you mentioned that your calculation suggests that you're having a 14% fuel saving in the new A320 NEOs. Now, broadly, could you just help me with what was the average fuel, you know, in this quarter and previous quarter?
So I think, so this is Rohit. Maybe Mayur, let me, not sure I fully understood the question, but let me just
calculate is, so while there is an increase in fleet and the ASK, has the fuel moved in the same direction, keeping the cost factor in mind as well as the saving factor in mind?
So firstly, I think savings on with respect to NEO are only with respect to, you know, 10 aircraft that we have with the NEO, and we didn't have all those 10 aircraft for the full quarter, so the impact on the capacity deployed in the quarter from the NEOs is still pretty small. Overall, if you look at fuel, you'll see in slide 9 of our presentation, fuel expenses grew at 26.7%, and so it grew slightly smaller. If you look on the same page 9 at the bottom of the page, we talk about our fuel price based on the published price by the Indian Oil Company,
right,
and that has a 2% reduction in the same period. So that basically explains the fuel price movement. So the NEO impact is pretty minimal in this quarter. However, we're obviously optimistic as we continue to take more NEOs, we'll see that 14% show up in the numbers.
All right. And taking it forward on the RASK and average fare. So Q3, have you started seeing the uptick again as far as the RASK is concerned and the average fare is concerned?
So Mayur, I think as I mentioned to Anand earlier on the call, I think we will stay away from giving you any further guidance in terms of trends that we are seeing in the marketplace now. We'd rather focus on talking about the results for the September quarter. So sorry, won't be able to answer that question.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rajendra Mishra from IDFC. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Once again, my question was again on the broader trends. So basically my question was, so feel free to respond or if not, which is fine. My question was broadly on, we have seen a very buoyant traffic growth for the industry as a whole. So how do we read the trends and the competitive scenario? And also how is this volatility of crude playing out? So, but feel free if you would want to respond or not.
So I think, Rajendra, this is Aditya.
Yeah.
I'll give you a broad comment that, you know, we've started aggressively matching the fares that are being offered by the competition, like we had said in the last earnings call. As a consequence, you would have seen that our load factors have increased compared to the same period last year. The current revenue environment remains fairly competitive. So beyond that, I will not give any comment on future yields. But again, as I was telling Vinay, we do see some ability to further increase our load factors as we enter a seasonally strong quarter.
Okay. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kunal Lakhan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. My first question was on the performance of Golden Engines. How are they faring in terms of both hardware and software issues?
Yeah, so yes, we have started receiving these improved engines from Pratt & Whitney. As I said, in terms of fuel performance, it is performing within the expected range and giving us a fuel efficiency of over 14% compared to the CEOs without shark legs. In terms of operational challenges, while most of the startup time-related issues have been addressed, we continue to see some operational issues arising out of the reliability of the NEO engines. But there is a plan according to which, you know, both Pratt & Whitney and Airbus are supporting us. There is a plan to resolve most of these issues by the end of the year. We're actively engaged with them. And ideally, we'd like the schedule integrity of our NEO fleet to be exactly the same, if not better, than our CEO fleet.
Okay, but considering the current state in which Golden Engine is, we would be confident of taking the delivery of the rest of the. Basically, what I'm trying to ask is, like, are we okay with taking the delivery of the balance NEO that we are expecting this year in the current state?
Yes.
Great. Secondly, I think we this quarter saw delivery of Airbus NEO 320 NEO with LEAP-1 engines. Any idea? Any thoughts you can share on how has been the performance of the LEAP-1 engines?
So I believe we are of course always interested in looking at new technology, but from what I understand that the LEAP-X engine hasn't flown really as many number of hours as the GTF engine. So we'll keep a close watch on it.
Sure. And lastly, if I may, what could be the difference in the lease rentals between basically short-term leases and our typical 6-7 year leases?
You know, they're all subject to many factors in the marketplace. It's the specifics of the aircraft, the situation that a particular lessor is in at a particular point in time. So it's difficult to sort of give you any specific numbers. So when getting used aircraft, we obviously triangulate the maintenance cost implications, the lease rental costs, fuel burn, and all of those factors, and compare it against the opportunity we have at hand, and only get the aircraft that meet our internal operational and commercial parameters. And as you know, we induct these used aircraft on short-term basis only temporarily to augment any shortfall in capacity.
Okay, sure. Just one last question. In terms of guidance, we are talking about 30% growth in ASK for H2. So that would imply like a 28% growth for the full year versus 34% we had guided earlier.
That is correct. So the capacity guidance that we had previously was based on the same 136 aircraft, but in our previous plan, we were getting those aircraft earlier. So while we still expect to get 136 aircraft by the end of the quarter, some of the aircraft will be later, and so we won't get as many hours of flying out of each of those aircraft, out of each of the new aircraft. So you're right, the effective capacity guidance for the year has reduced from last time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Santosh Hirdesai from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I was just trying to understand some bit on the GST side, the rates which have come up. We enjoy as an industry today a weighted service tax of 6%. Now, is there any communication from the government what will be the structure going ahead on this for the industry?
The government has released its model law on GST. We have spent some time reviewing this as an airline industry, and have had a number of dialogues with both the Ministry of Civil Aviation and the Finance Ministry on what the potential impact could be depending on what rate structure we get put into. As you know, there's these many different slabs of rate structures that GST could be imposed on. And so the final decisions as to what exact slab will be put in is still to be made. So until then we can't really speculate where we are. We are hopeful that we've had very constructive dialogue as an industry with the Ministry of Civil Aviation and the Finance Ministry. And there is a receptiveness not to impose an additional tax burden on the industry. But beyond that, we can't really speculate on what the outcome would be.
Fair enough. So this is true even for the RCS levy which the government is talking about. Where do you stand on that?
So RCS levy is a different subject. This is Aditya.
Right.
So yeah. RCS levy is a different subject. There is still a lot of discussion going on within the industry and the government. So there is some, I think the government is probably relooking at some of the ways of imposing that levy, if at all, the quantum of the levy and so on and so forth. So they've just launched the RCA scheme, I think less than 2 weeks back. So I think there is still a lot of details out there which will come out, and then we will be able to kind of react to that.
Sure. And so my second question is, the winter schedule, we're looking at about 20% plus capacity on the domestic side getting added, and of course 2/3 coming from Indigo, if not more. So I was just trying to understand the thought process. What is your outlook on the market potential? Can we sustain these rates, and at the cost of what kind of yields? So any thoughts on that?
So, I think despite all the capacity addition that is taking place,
right,
India continues to be an underpenetrated market. So we, like Rohit and I said before, while there may be some short-term imbalance of capacity coming in, over the medium to long-term, we definitely think that the balance will be restored, especially in a growing market such as India.
Fair enough, sir. That helps. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dinesh Patrick from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. The NEOs that we have are on operating leases, right? So on an average, how much are we getting on the sale and leaseback transactions?
I'm sorry, it's Rohit. That's something that we will probably not be able to give you any details on.
Okay. The restricted cash, to what extent, I mean, is it restricted from paying dividends, that 4,500K, what is the nature of restriction? Can you just talk about that?
Yes, I think the restricted cash is essentially cash that we have on security deposit with that's backing up our supplementary lease rental obligations. So it's basically securitizing our supplementary rentals. So yes, we will not be able to use that for paying dividends. So you have to look at free cash as sort of the cash that's available for things like dividends. That's why we disclose both the free cash and restricted cash each quarter.
And the forex mark-to-market, which you explained earlier, that is captured in other expense, right?
Correct. That the mark-to-market is in other expenses.
Okay, and so the CASK ex fuel, when you said is down 9%, so that includes the impact of mark to market, or that is on a clean basis where you are excluding the mark to market forex impact?
It does include the impact of the mark to market. So it's a total. Mark to market is in other expenses, and other expenses is part of CASK, so it is included.
So would be fair to say a better way to look at it would be CASK ex fuel ex mark to market, right?
Yeah, you can look at many measures. It's just that it's difficult. That's why typically when this line item has hurt us, we've not in the past tried to exclude it. You can just get caught up by trying to do a lot of exclusions. But if you do want to sort of do some reconciliation on this number, we're happy to have you walk through it with Ankur offline.
All right, that helps. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question on the, this pricing environment for last couple of quarters. So is there any meaningful improvement in the pricing environment versus current, let's say, 6 to 9 months back? Or the environment is continues to be weak in terms of pricing? Thanks.
So it's Rohit, I'll jump in and then Aditya can comment any further. Overall, we're not going to give you specific commentary about the third quarter, but overall the market continues to be competitive, and that hasn't changed. The The third quarter is seasonally stronger, so that obviously helps, and you'll see the seasonality impact. But overall, the comment I'll say is the market continues to be competitive.
And the only thing that I've said before is that, you know, because of the lower fares, you can see also see a higher load factor. So it's a combination of all of these things.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashisha from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So just had a question on the new GDS agreement which you have signed. I mean, this is, I believe, the first agreement, such agreement that you have signed. So what is the benefit that we expect out of this, and what would be the sort of cost associated with this, if you can indicate broadly? Thank you.
Yeah, so this arrangement with Travelport, which is the owner of Galileo, will allow us to reach new customers both at home and especially overseas, where travel agents will be able to book much more easily. They don't have to toggle between screens and so on and so forth. And more importantly, it's in a very cost-effective manner without incurring any of the traditional costs associated with participating in GDS platforms using old-style industry mechanisms. We will be actually enabling real-time connectivity into that platform via an XML API link, which helps us reduce the cost.
So, you know, if I may just conclude something out of this, is that you probably would not, one should not expect an appreciable increase in your cost associated with your selling and distribution on account of this agreement. Would that be a fair conclusion?
That would be correct.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harshad Mora from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had a question on this cash and on-cash incentives. So, you know, they are up like 50% on a YOY basis, and on a per ASK basis, they are up like 19%. So how do we think about it? Is it largely primarily to do with new neos coming in? And as more and more neos come in, will this absolute number keep on increasing? Thank you.
Harshad, it's Rohit. Yes, the answer is yes.
Okay. And the second question was on this A320neo operational issues. So is it just to do with, you know, delays in getting new planes? Because on the fuel trains, I think you're almost there, what you have added. Or are there anything more which we need to read into it?
Actually, Harshad, this is Aditya. Again, I mean, partly is the delays in deliveries. But the operational issue is really around, we had a delayed startup time issue that was going on. There were some delamination that was going on. So there was these things that were there and which were identified. And as I said, there is a plan according to which it is working. There were some software patches that had to come in and that are beginning to get dropped. And this resolution plan goes all the way till the end of this year. But in the broad scheme of things, that is in the category of noise, and it is the multi-billion dollar bet that we took on fuel burn, and that fuel burn is giving us those savings of more than 14% that I talked about.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just on the average fares YOY, so the double-digit decline, have you seen a similar pricing decline in flights originating and terminating in Mumbai?
Yeah, so Pulkit, that's Rohit. I think generally the yield decline is sort of across the system. You do see a little bit more steeper yield decline in the metro to metro routes and slightly less yield decline in the metro to non-metro routes or the routes that are not, but the metro to metro routes, not Mumbai specifically, but metro to metro routes.
So, this is Sanjay. What Rohit has just said is the decline will be more on the reflection on Delhi-Bangalore and Delhi-Calcutta route, where we see a lot more capacity addition. may not be on Delhi, Bombay, because right now there is a capacity constraint there on this market. So overall it is, you know, across the metro to metro more than metro to non-metro.
No, my question was precisely for this point itself. I mean, so Mumbai, and it's not to say Mumbai to only another metro, it's just all flights from Mumbai. Just looking at Mumbai as an average, when you have slot constraints out there, are we still seeing a similar 11% kind of fare decline for any kind of flights, I mean all flights from Mumbai?
So difficult to quantify that, but, you know, out of Mumbai it will be less as compared to other metros, I would say.
That's what I was, okay. Secondly, on the employee expense, so this has increased 6% Q&Q versus a 5% Q&Q increase of ASKs. Now, my understanding was that in first quarter there was an ESOP expense which would not have taken place in the second quarter, and therefore the jump in expense seems to be higher. Can you help me understand, I mean, how did we see the productivity? Because I was expecting a lower employee expense based on that ESOP expense, which is not going to recur.
So I think, Pulkit, I'm not fully getting the arithmetic that you were trying to do here, but I think in the last quarter, we had a negative impact of ESOP that wasn't in the quarter a year ago. Now we've come to a point where the year-over-year ESOP expenses, you have it in the quarter a year ago. You have it in this quarter as well. So now you don't have that that negative impact, but you still have the ESOP. Actually, the absolute ESOP expense, you know, will still continue. So, but I'm not sure whether that answered your question.
I mean, just for clarity, can you just provide the ESOP expense for this quarter and the previous quarter?
I think, Pulkit, why don't you follow up with Ankur offline, and we'll reconcile those numbers.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vineet Maru from Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Just want to understand a little bit more on this GDS arrangement. You said it's different from a traditional connectivity and is going to cost lower. So how is it different, and why would it cost lower? I mean, just trying to, can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
The technology that we use is different from what legacy carriers use, and that drives down the cost.
So is the cost of the software license or something?
No, it's not a software license. It is the mechanism with which you connect into the GDS. Legacy carriers usually have something called bill settlement plan. They participate in the BSP. They have to give credit. There are a whole bunch of other things going on which we are not burdened with.
Okay. So is there anything else? I mean, is there anything that prevents others from moving to such a system? I just want to understand. Are they locked into such costs, which you won't be?
Yeah. Once a legacy carrier is locked in, they're locked in into this system and the way of connecting for over a long period of time.
And in any commercial arrangement, there's a commercial negotiation that has to happen between two parties. And so I think it's all outcome of how important the relationship is to both parties, which will result in what the right cost structure is for that arrangement.
Sure. And through this, the distribution reach and connected will get is same as any other carrier would get.
Well, I mean,
when you say any other carrier, you mean to say
traditional
carriers?
Yeah,
because traditionally low-cost carriers don't participate in GDSs because of the extra costs. So I think this is sort of an opportunity for us to expand our distribution to areas where travel agents are only accessing fares through GDSs. So to expand our distribution to some places where we don't reach today, but doing it without sort of increasing our cost burden. So it's sort of obviously a win for us. It's a win for Travelport because they get access to Indigo content, which is very valuable for their travel agents, for their travel agent customers. So it's a win-win for both us as well as Travelport.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sanket Vahiti from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening.
So I have one question on the new fleets that are going to come up. Are they going to come up on the do you have any plan to add on the international routes, or all of them will come on domestic routes?
It will be a mix. This is Aditya Sanket. It will be a mix of both.
Okay.
More of domestic, less of international, but it will be a mix of both.
And can you guide us, what is the market scenario at the international level? Because your earnings are seem to be improved and your EBIT margins are also very healthy over that international side. So what's the market scenario over there?
Yeah, so, one is that there is a lower fuel cost in international operations. Because in the total international cost, fuel cost is 30% of that cost, rather than the total in the domestic side, the fuel cost is 40%. One is that. And the second item is the fact that the domestic market today is a highly competitive environment, more competitive than the international side.
Having said that, you're seeing some pressure even in the fares on the international side as well. So, yes, I think overall the international segment is doing is holding up a little better in the current term, but it's also subject to some of the competitive fare pressures.
Okay, that's all for my time. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rajani Ketan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a quick follow up. Actually, first one is on commissions. Now, around the region, we are seeing actually agent commissions going down. Just wanted to check if you're experiencing that sort of trend in India as well, and like what level of your ticket sales are through agents at the moment. And the second question really is on the short-term leases. What is the tenure of the short-term leases that you, of the used aircraft that you expect to take over the next couple of months?
Rajni, this is Aditya. So, yes, you're right. I think in the Indian industry also, there is, in some pockets, there is a downward trend in commissions. Having said that, we also understand that some new players actually are paying more, higher commissions than the existing players. As far as we are concerned, IndiGo is concerned, we do not pay any commissions to online travel agents in any case. And our commissions that we pay to traditional brick-and-mortar offline travel agents is the lowest in the Indian industry. As far as the tenure of the short-term leases, I'll take that. It's at an average of about 3.5 years. Some are longer, some are shorter, but about 3.5 years.
Okay, and just very quickly, what percentage of your total tickets are through the traditional travel agents?
So the traditional travel agents would be about 43.7%. Online travel agents would be about 34%. And then the balance is call center, airport, mobile app, website.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vinay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. You know, firstly, we've seen lease rental per ASKM go up. That is mainly on account of NEO addition, like between Q1 and Q2.
Lease rentals have gone up with the additional aircraft that we've taken, which includes NEOs as well as, you know, a few used aircraft. I think we took 6 NEOs and 3 used aircraft in this quarter. So, yes.
So per ASKM also it would be higher because our short-term leases will be more expensive, right?
Yeah, but when you look at it on a per ASK basis, it's not materially changed.
Right, yeah. Secondly, you know, on the international side, we've seen in the past that the company has been very heavily focused on the domestic market. But we do see some of your regional peers which are now talking a lot about going up to 20 and taking increasing pie on the international side. Profitability also on that side remains pretty strong. So from a longer term view, is there any change in strategy to sort of take international as a higher as a percentage of overall mix? Or do you think for the next 2-3 years, international as a percentage of sales will largely remain the same?
Yeah, Vinay, this is Aditya. Without giving any guidance as to exactly how much capacity in terms of percentage that we will be allocating, fair to say that, you know, we will be chasing both international and domestic, especially in the sort of short-haul routes out of the gateway points from India. There are a lot of opportunities in the Middle East and Southeast Asia. Case in point is that we, in this quarter, last quarter, second quarter, we started Dubai-Chandigarh. We just announced Kochi-Muscat, and that flight is open for sale. It will start operating from the 15th of December, Chennai-Muscat. So, yes, we will do some more international flights, but really, in comparison, the opportunity within India is just so much that we will do, as I said, more of domestic, less of international, but we will do both.
And our mix today is about 10%. Maybe that number could go up a little bit, but you know, as Aditya said, we'll continue to do a mixture of both.
Great, great, that's helpful. Great, thanks a lot.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraints, we'll take our last question. That's from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you. You mentioned about the delays versus the original schedule as far as the deliveries of the NEOs go. Would it be right to assume that given the delays this year, and you know, if the schedule gets back on track, there will be a higher than expected bunching up, say, in the next couple of years? Or should we expect a normalized kind of a run rate next 2 years?
This is Aditya, Joseph. No, we'll expect it to be around the similar numbers from what we have guided in the past.
Okay. Is there a downward? So, you know, if I remember correctly, there were some numbers that were guided to for FY18 end as well. So, is there a change in those numbers? If I remember correctly, it was 154 or something. Is there a change in that number, or that kind of stays?
At this point in time, that stays. So the 154 was the last guidance that we had on FY18, and we, at this point in time, that would still be our number.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ankur Goel for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining us on this call. Just to reiterate, a recording of this call will be made available on our website shortly, followed by a written transcript.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Indigo, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.